I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. What's going on, Ooh. Walking Dead fans? We are back for the mid-season premiere, season 10, episode 9, The Walking Dead. It's called Squeeze. Do you guys feel squeezed tonight?
I love it. I love it.
I like that,
really. I've got some familiar faces here, everybody. Well, familiar face, Benny Adams on the end. What's going on, Benny?
What's up? I missed all you guys.
You know what? Benny loves the drama and the suspense of The Walking Dead. This is what he tells me right before the show. So I'm glad you're back, Benny.
It's so good. Reunited.
I know. Reunited and it feels so good, right? We've got a new addition to the panel tonight, Cedric Welton. He is a Norman Reedus stan. What's going on, Cedric?
Doing good. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Happy to talk Walking Dead for the rest of the season.
We're so excited to have another face and another voice and opinion on our panel because we are very, very excited. Our fans, we're asking the fans, take it lightly on him, you guys. He's new, okay? Don't rake him over the coals just yet. So, Cedric, before we dive into the episode, tell us a little bit more and our fans a little bit more about your experience with The Walking Dead, when you started watching it, why you're so connected to it.
So I've been watching it since season one, and I'm so committed to the group of heroes that we follow and love, all these characters from day one. I'm so in love with this show because in my mind I think it can actually happen.
So coronavirus is real,
right.
So Ebola,
it might be more near than we think. So I just love the realism of the show and the action. Great actors and actresses, top to bottom.
Well, speaking of which, from season one till now, who's been your absolute favorite character? Is it Norman Reedus?
It's Daryl Dixon. Daryl Dixon, who was not in the comics, so I think that's why I kind of lean towards that, because we're following his journey all along, brand new.
Yeah.
Every season.
That's pretty cool. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Daryl wasn't part of the comics, but I mean, it's great what he's done with the role, in my opinion. Man. So, you know what? Let's dive into this episode, you guys. We are, like I said, very excited to be back. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's just dive in, shall we? So, I want to talk about, and Ryan, our wonderful engineer in our booth, giving us that awesome soundbite. As always, thank you, Ryan. So, let's talk about the Negan storyline really quick, just to get that out of the way. So, the last time we left Negan, he's joined the Whisperers. And in this episode, there's a little bit of conflict between him and Alpha, obviously. Did you guys, before we jump to the end and without giving away too much at first, did you even see that's where that was going?
No, I didn't. I'm still confused about that whole situation with Negan and Alpha. Like, I don't understand what's up his sleeve. And then that whole situation that you were talking about, was completely left field. I was trying to connect the dots. I have some news and gossip on it where I can talk more about it. But yeah, I did not see that coming whatsoever.
That's right, you guys. Benny's got some news and gossip coming up at the end of the episode. Plus, Cedric is going to give us our special segments. We've got our MVP segment. Plus, our dead weight of the episode, the character that did the least in the episode. We're going to be talking about that at the end of the episode. Cedric, did you think that that's what was going to happen at the end?
Absolutely not. And the Negan's arc is so weird to me right now. I'm kind of in a space where, yes, he's betrayed the group in a sense, but I'm kind of holding back hope that he's going to just infiltrate the Whisperers and just do damage. I'm waiting for that aha moment.
Yeah.
Just waiting for that.
Yeah, I think we all are waiting for that aha moment. I don't think it's going to come for a while. I mean, it's too soon. He just joined them. I know it feels like forever because of the break, but he literally just joined them two episodes ago.
The thing is, we don't really know if he truly is going to really backstab the Whisperers, because you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when Eugene was with Negan, and I don't know about everyone else, but I thought Eugene was going to be the guy that like befriends Negan and then last minute backstabs him, and that never really happened.
I think the difference, I mean, we could obviously see the clear differences between, you know, Negan and Eugene.
Right.
Eugene is more of a beta male, whereas Negan is more of an alpha male, pun intended. Because he pretty much tells Alpha, you know, you need to look out for the closest people in your group. And I liked that moment between the two of them because it was pretty much him saying, you know, I've been where you are. I've had people before. Mm-hmm. I've been in charge before. And I got burned by the people that was closest to me. So, especially when you run it like a dictatorship, like somebody's bound to turn at some point.
Yeah.
Do you guys want Gamma to succeed in what she's doing? Do you trust Gamma?
Ooh, no. I actually don't trust Gamma. I mean, I like that she's tipping off the rest of the group, the heroes in the story, but I do not trust her for one second. I think we get a flat, or we're going to see her interact with the group more in the next episode, but I'm getting very bad Dante vibes from her. I just feel like it's when they were loyal to Alpha like they are, I just feel like there's always an end game there where they can always go back.
Yeah. And she's alluded to that too. Yeah. I mean, Gamma has said that to Alpha herself. Like, I can bring them in. That's why, you know, Alpha chose her to kind of infiltrate the group to bring them in. I just wanted to know if you guys thought that she was actually turning toward the side of good.
I actually think she is.
Yeah?
I think that Alpha, she's seen the true side of Alpha. I remember last, before the finale, she found out that, you know, Alpha actually didn't kill her daughter, and that really did really messed up her head. So I really do think that she is starting to double think, you know, what is she doing on this side versus the other side, where she could be living a pretty good life.
Yeah. Just because Negan had the guts to talk doesn't mean that it's going to pay off well, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all knew that Alpha was going to respond well to this. I mean, it wasn't a surprise that she, you know, almost cut his wee-wee off. I don't know what else to call it.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, it was very aggressive, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But she's not a dumb leader. She went back to, you know, Beta and was like, look, we need to look out for the person that this person told us to look out for, because if she hadn't have tied up that loose end, then what I liked about it is that she doesn't leave anything hanging. She always has to look at every angle.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had, like, brushed him off, I would have been like, that was a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be like Alpha. She knows everything that's going on in her group. She's always two steps ahead.
I agree.
Yeah. So, talking about Gamma in general, you know, Alpha's fears are confirmed. She never made it to the border. Beta tells her that. And now Beta has to track her down.
Right.
And he says he wants to kill her. Alpha's like, no, leave
that.
And
I believe that.
Yeah, obviously.
She wants to make an example.
Yeah. Do you think that Gamma will be taken back to the group in one piece?
No. I think Alpha is going to find out what's going to happen, and she's going to get her revenge, and Alpha always gets what Alpha wants. But I do think that Gamma will be able to get one, like, aha moment mm-hmm. over Alpha, but I don't see Gamma surviving whatsoever. Hmm. I don't see it.
Which really sucks, because I like Thora Birch as an actress, mm-hmm. and I like her in this character. I disagree with you, Benny. I think that she is going to survive.
Okay.
You know, you and I tend to disagree.
We always do.
I feel like she is going to survive. I think she's going to be just like Lydia on the other side. Well, Lydia's gone. But, I mean, she'll be like Lydia, and she'll go to that side.
Yeah.
And I feel like her and Aaron are building up this relationship just like Lydia and Daryl did.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a slow burn there where mm-hmm. Gamma does make it to the other side, and they has to earn her trust the group before they actually make her a part of their community. But I think it'll be a slow burn. I think she'll eventually have to cross paths with Alpha, but that'll be way down the road before that happens.
Yeah, if Carol doesn't get to her first.
I mean, see, this is what's going to happen. We're going to end up falling in love with Gamma. She's going to end up surviving for a good minute this season, and then bam! Right before our eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Take her out.
I agree with you. That always happens. They always build us up to like her, and then they take them out. So let's talk about this peak moment between Alpha and Negan.
Oh, my God.
So what I liked about it was the creating of the suspense that the writers and the cinematography gave us. Because if you think about it, put yourself in Negan's shoes for a second. You're walking through the woods. Alpha's behind you. He already thinks he's in, you know, hot water with her because of what mm-hmm. he said. And you know, their pretty much MO is to take people. They kill whoever, whenever, however.
Yeah.
So in Negan's mind, he was probably walking out into the middle of the woods like, I might die. She might just kill me by, you know, sticking a knife in the back of my head. It took so much submission for him in this moment. And I was actually surprised. I was surprised that he didn't turn around and try to hit her or run to get away or try to get the upper hand, because that's who he is and that's his character. Were you guys surprised that he just kind of let her kind of maneuver this situation?
See, and this is why I'm going back and forth with him with the whole, is he really with her or is he really trying to swindle her? Because I felt like he, at that moment, I felt like he was doing what he had to do to earn her trust. And if he didn't do that, and if he did what the Negan would have done or would have did, then I think she wouldn't have trusted him that much.
That's a good point.
I'm going back and forth on this. Because Negan did show a lot of emotion there. Mm-hmm. A lot of raw emotion.
Do you think it was real?
I think it was real. I think we've seen Negan hit rock bottom already when he was just in the jail, just wanting to be a part of the community. I think he's seen his peaks, mm-hmm. and now we've seen his lows from last season. I think that was genuine.
Yeah.
I think he was generally ready to die at that point.
Hmm. So we obviously know that that didn't happen. Instead, right. It was kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
In a really creepy, and I was a little like, looking through my fingers because it was like really, really gross.
Oh, I was eating when it happened, so just think how I felt.
Very odd parents. Very odd parents.
Sorry, Betty. That was very weird. It was like looking at your parents or even your grandparents have sex. Now, it was worse. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is very, very attractive. Let's get that straight. Like, he is a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Handsome dude.
But to do it with, and Alpha Yiv, you guys have seen her, and I think she's attractive with her bald head.
We've seen her like dressed up like as a normal like person,
right? And she's
beautiful, yeah.
But with the mask and the dirt and the, they haven't showered, and he was just in a pile of poop and pee. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this is gross.
It's bad timing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what it was like in the Renaissance or the medieval times when they were like doing each other. But that was just, it was, I don't want to say it was too much.
Yeah.
Because I get what Alpha was doing. I think she's using this as a way to once again put Negan in this submissive role. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that, I think he knows that that's what she's doing. I think that he can see this. I mean, he's had several women in his entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the player. He doesn't get played.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What did you guys think?
Oh my gosh. It was the most cringe. I honestly think that was the most cringeworthiest scene in The Walking Dead that I've ever seen.
Really?
I can't.
Even with Noah and the face and the blah. And
yeah, he literally grabbed her dead face and started making out with it. And then you see them naked, all dirty, all up on each other. She's climbing up on him, giving like a demonstration and everything. But yeah, it was very, very, very uncomfortable. I know Alpha liked it, but I'm on the fence on whether Negan liked it. And again, I'll have more to say about that for News and Gossip, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Alpha liked it.
Yeah,
I think it was just business. Like you said, I think it's more of a long play to get Negan to be submissive. Mm-hmm. And on top of what you just said, I think Negan is hip to that. I think he gets it.
Yeah.
He already told her, like, I've been where you are. Mm-hmm. I've had my own people. Mm-hmm. So I think he's hip to that. And then they're just kind of playing this game of cat and mouse, which is who's going to fall first and who's going to, I guess, bend the knee first.
If you know.
But I think that was one of the most awkward scenes I've watched in all the seasons of Walking Dead. It wasn't bad.
It was just, and maybe that's what the writers were going for. It made you like cringe a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because it's just, it's gross.
Yeah,
it's just double takes. Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
happened.
I mean, I agree with the both of you, Benny. I think that, you know, she I feel like she knows exactly what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that she liked it.
In terms of.
She wants Negan as her new plaything.
Do you think she's growing feelings for him?
Yes. Not like that. I mean, it's too soon to say all that. But I do think that she can see herself. Because he's so attractive. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, you are with this guy, Beta, and we don't know what's under the mask. So there's probably good reason for it.
I know that Beta is, like, just down for the cause.
Yeah. At all times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's why she's lost interest in him, because she wants somebody that's going to, you know, butt heads with her. She wants somebody that's going to talk back to her. You know what I mean? She doesn't want somebody who's submissive to her, because that's boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Alpha wants something new and exciting.
That's a very good point. I never thought about it like that.
But Negan's definitely reading the, like you said in the episode, the praying mantis vibes.
Yeah.
He's definitely got an ear up to that.
I'm glad that he brought that up too, because Negan's once again a very, very smart character, so he knows what's going on, and he just mm-hmm. wants to call it out for what it is. He's like, you're not gonna kill me right before, like, after we're done, are you? And I loved Alpha sent Beta away before she went and did Negan, because clearly she doesn't want Beta to know anything that's happening,
yeah,
because he'll probably feel some type of way about it.
Oh, yeah.
That was calculated.
Oh, totally.
Very calculated.
Let's talk about the cave. So we left a lot of our surviving people, Daryl, Carol, Magna, Jerry, Connie, Kelly, and Aaron, inside of this cave where we last saw them when the midseason ended. And they're pretty much trapped in there. They've got to figure out a way out. And Daryl uses a walker hand as a torch, which I thought was brilliant, you guys. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. Gross, but awesome. Kind of like Alpha and Negan.
Okay, but I had a question. So at the beginning of the show, we see, I forgot who it was, but she was trying to climb up to get out of the cave. She was like climbing the wall. She fell down.
Was that Kelly?
I think it was Kelly.
I think it was
so dark I couldn't tell. But my whole thing was, then they started, you know, doing like a little jumping thing over the walkers. But my whole thing was, why couldn't they just, and maybe this is really stupid of me to say, why couldn't they just get on each other's back up against the wall and then just climb up?
I feel like that would be hard because, I mean...
Well, what about the last person?
Well, I mean, I guess somebody could run and go get some rope or something. Yeah. But if we think about it, what happened at the end of the episode, if somebody was out there by themselves, there's a whole bunch of whispers out there.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, Kelly handled her own. We'll get to it. But I mean, I don't think that it would be fair to just send one person up there by themselves. You know what I mean? So like you said, Benny, they do use these rocks to get across. They alluded and kind of foreshadowed this whole thing with Kelly's ankle being hurt and stuff like that. Did you guys think when they were jumping over the rocks that we were going to lose somebody early on in the episode? You did.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you think
I didn't
was
know.
Gonna be?
I had no idea who was. I knew it wasn't going to be Carol. I knew it wasn't going to be Daryl. Mm. But everyone else was free game.
I thought it was going to be Kelly because they alluded to her hurt ankle, and I thought she was going to like trip on it or something.
Yeah.
Cedric, what do you think?
I actually two times this episode, I thought it was going to be Jerry.
Yeah, same.
I thought the big man. I thought it was
the
big man.
Yeah,
he
was.
I really did.
It was a close one.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge, and how do you fit through this little? I mean, I would have been great. I would have been fine. Me and Benny would have been like up in there, like let's go. Cedric, I think you would have had a little bit of a tough time because you've got muscles on you. So I mean, you know, it's only for the lanky guys. We would have been fine.
No, actually, I thought we were gonna lose Jerry. That time, shimmying through the cave when he had to take his gear off. And then when he was holding the weight of the rocks, I thought everything was going to collapse on him that time. I was like, oh, wow, they're just teeing it up.
Yeah, Jerry had a lot of close calls this episode.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
So, Daryl and Carol have a conversation once they get to the other side of the Walker Pit, if you will, and I always love the moments between Daryl and Carol. It just sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Every time I say it. Because they're just, the love for each other is so there and so present when they talk to each other. It's just, it's undeniable, the chemistry between the two actors and the characters that they've built up. And essentially, you know, it's, you know, Daryl, you know, giving Carol crap for, you know, just going off and doing whatever the hell she wants to do for this entire time, and him being patient with her, and him just sitting there going, you know, I don't know how to help you, and I want to help you, but I can't. And, you know, Carol makes a promise to him saying, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Did you guys believe her in that moment?
No.
Absolutely
damn,
not.
Damn, Betty.
Because she said, I feel like she said this before, like in the mid-season finale, or close to it. And, you know, I was telling you this before the show, like, I was getting so frustrated with her, but I had to remind myself, you know, remember what this woman has gone through, remember what Alpha has put her through for her to get to this stage in her life.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a double-edged sword for sure, but...
What I really enjoyed was that they're making this whole obsession with Carol and Alpha thing kind of like an addiction for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the dialogue and you hear what Carol is saying, she's like, I want to stop, but I can't stop.
It was like,
right.
It's like Rick's addiction with Negan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like this obsession, this... Well, it's further than an obsession, because it's like literally they can't stop and they're putting everybody else in their group at risk and in danger, and they can't stop. And
right.
I enjoy that moment of weakness from Carol because it only gives her more of a character arc. For me personally,
yeah,
I do agree with the group, and I'm glad that Magna calls her out on it once they are in the clear. Well, mm-hmm. not in the clear, but like not around walkers, where she's like, we're here because of you. And
yeah.
then Daryl obviously stood up for Carol. Exactly. And I was like, you know what? Carol's one of my favorite characters, but I'm glad somebody called her out on it because yeah. she needs to be called out on her crap.
Yeah. And I really love what Carol said to Daryl about Alpha, how she doesn't want to see her die. She wants to see her suffer. She wants her to feel how she feels. And like, you can put that in any real world situation. If someone does you bad, you want that same person to feel that way.
Yeah.
And I feel for Daryl, man. He's like that little brother that sees his sibling going mm-hmm. off the rails. Yeah. It's like he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He's really lost. He even talked about her being claustrophobic, and mm-hmm. Carol had no idea that he's studied her.
Yes.
He cares so much.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I mean, I like that moment between them once again when she's like, I never told you that I was claustrophobic. And he was like, if I wouldn't know anything if it was based on what you told me, because she doesn't really tell him anything because she's so closed off. But mm-hmm. right. I love how you're absolutely right, Cedric. He's so in tune with her because they've been together for all of these years that he just knows her without even speaking. They're like soulmates.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I was worried about Magna at one point when she was looking through all of the holes in the cave. Mm-hmm. I thought somebody was going to grab her hand or a walker was going to bite her hand. Was I the only one? Because then a whisper came out of nowhere. It scared the hell out of me, by the way. I was actually like, whoa. Because I was expecting the hand thing, and
yeah.
she got attacked from behind. So not only are they dealing with walkers, but they're also dealing with whisperers.
Right. Yeah. I literally thought that either one of those people, they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew, I was like, someone is going to die in this cave.
Yeah.
And every single close call or every single action that they did that could have got them killed, I was like, yep, they're gone. And then it ended up not happening.
And yeah, Magna, that was a scary moment, because she's just finding her way at the match in this very dark cave, and you almost like, you know, they're being watched. That's the main yeah. thing. So you don't know what's going to happen. Magna couldn't just sit still mm-hmm. with the group to save her life. She wanted to go out and do her own thing, because maybe she's claustrophobic too. They didn't talk about it, but she obviously didn't want to stay in there that long.
I mean, I kind of like that about Magna. She was proactive in a situation instead of just sitting yeah. around. But at the same time, that proactiveness can get everybody else nervous, because it's like, just sit down. We're just trying to figure out what to do next. And she's like, no, I got to do something. I got to do something. Well, and you're right. It could have put the group in danger. I'm glad it didn't. But
I thought that was normal, though. Like,
really?
You're in a cave with a bunch of walkers. Like, I would think that you would want to figure out how to, like, get out.
No,
like,
I would too.
Do that.
Yes.
I would be, like, looking all around, trying to find, like, holes or spaces, somewhere I can crawl out of instead of just, like, sitting there.
I feel like some of our more tenured characters might have been in worse situations, though. That's why they were
true.
They were calm.
Very, yeah. very true.
Except for Carol. Carol was hyperventilating in every minute.
Yeah.
So they do find a mine shaft. They do kind of find a way out. They were figuring out their way through this entire cave, and they pretty much have to dig their way out, but they make a good point. Like, it's a mine shaft, so if they hit one thing or they move a certain thing, everything could collapse on them. So that's just upping the risks here.
Yeah.
And they find some dynamite sticks, which are going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they think about, you know, leaving, as soon as they have a way out, Carol's gone. So, Benny, you were right. Like, Carol's, once again.
It was so annoying.
I know, I know.
I was just like, Carol, come on.
But she had a good idea. I mean, she was going to use the
Tell
dynamite.
Tell people.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Communicate. Yes. That's the word.
She's not a good
That's the word today.
She don't always got it. She saves a lot of people throughout The Walking Dead.
Yes.
But she doesn't always have to be the one.
Yes.
And she's not in a good state of mind to be that person. You know, if this was a couple seasons ago, yeah. But she's not in a good state of mind. Like, she's still mourning. She's still at a loss. She needs to let other people take that role.
But do you think that she took this upon herself because she feels responsible for them being in the situation in the first place? Mm-hmm. And at least by, you know, destroying half of this herd,
yeah.
she could at least go out of there and saying, hey, yeah, it sucked that I got you guys into this, but we walked away with a win.
Yeah, but she's still not in the right headspace to do that. She just needs to realize what she did and why they're in this position. Sit back, relax, and don't do anything else to get them in further danger.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, she totally could have been trying to save face with some of the group that was very frustrated with her. But again, bad timing.
Yes.
Help the group get out the cave and then come back and do that.
That's actually a really good point. They could have easily gotten out of the cave and then came back and said, hey, we got this dynamite. Let's destroy the herd. That's a good point, Cedric. I actually like that idea. So it kind of just created this domino effect about what Carol was doing. You know, she drops the dynamite. It does go off. I don't know if you guys know this, but I watched some kind of show, or it was a documentary or something, that was like, you don't actually have to light dynamite to make it go off.
Right.
Like, it starts to sweat, and that's what Jerry was saying, that it was, like, leaking or something.
I think if it's, like, really, really old dynamite,
even,
like, the slightest touch can just make
it
explode.
Yeah. So that is actually factual. It doesn't, like, just because she dropped it, I'm pretty sure people at home were going, but it wasn't even lit. That actually can happen. I had to research it, you guys. Obviously, we got this dynamite. They were foreshadowing that. She drops the dynamite. Magna goes back to fight a Whisperer. Connie goes back to save Magna. Them two get locked in there on a cave-in. Do you think that they're dead?
No.
No. No.
You're not dead until we see a body or a walker.
Yeah. That's actually true. That's the truest thing I've heard anybody say about this show.
And there's no way, like, Daryl, he's now going to try and find a way in. They're not going to, you know, waste all this camera time of him trying to get back in the cave just for them to be dead.
Well, that's why I actually enjoyed that moment of, you know, Daryl, because we can talk about Carol being closed off night and day, but we look at Daryl, and he's also very closed off. I mean, let's talk about his relationship with Connie, who's stuck in this cave-in with Magna right now. I mean, they have had this ongoing kind of budding relationship, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Seems like romance.
Some type, yeah. But he hasn't been very forthcoming with it, and I haven't seen much emotion from him until this moment where, you know, there's this idea that he's lost her, and he's just literally using his hands, his bare hands, to claw this out. And even Carol, we could talk about how Daryl, you know, knows what's going on with Carol without even her telling him.
Mm-hmm.
But Carol's the same way with Daryl. She knows what's going on with him without even him telling her. And she tells him in this heartbreaking moment, in my opinion, when she's like, you know, just hit me or hate me or tell me that I was wrong.
Yeah.
And Daryl's like, he can't do it.
Right.
What I loved about this is that I actually thought that he was going to hit her. And if he had hit her, knowing Carol's past with her abusive relationship with her husband, it would have been really bad.
It would have been really,
and
really
I'm
bad.
And I'm glad that Daryl didn't go that route. And I'm sure it took everything in him not to.
I don't think he would have hit her. I know he's pissed. I don't think that came across to him. But I know he did probably have some choice words for her that was... And it was very hard for him to hold back on.
Yeah.
But I did see when Carol was saying all this stuff to him, it did remind me of season one Carol, you know, where she was just very
vulnerable.
She wasn't like the strongest character. And I did see that side of her again.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Carol was feeling all the guilt of that whole encounter. And she knows that Daryl cares about Connie, and she even told him that. But I don't think Daryl's the type that would hit Carol. I think he cares about her too much. It would more be like an ignoring type of anger.
Yeah, I just thought that he just got so frustrated with her, because this has been building up. Like, she's been going off the rails. She's done it a few episodes now. And in this moment, she actually put a lot of people at risk. And then not only that, she did it again in the same instance. And essentially got two people killed, because they could be dead. I mean, we don't know. I mean, it's a cave-in. So.
Right.
Is there a chance you guys think we might see Carol get banished from the group again?
No. No. Well, she actually, didn't she do that herself? Like, she took it upon herself to take a step away from the group because of everything that had happened.
So the first, like, it's been, I think, didn't she leave, like, twice? Like, the first time she got banished, and then the second time she left on her own.
And then this time she left again, too, after Henry.
So the first time, I think, it was actually Rick taking her out and getting
That's right.
Sent her off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's a good question. I don't think so.
Well, who makes that call, though? Probably Michonne?
No, the council would, because Michonne doesn't have that singular power anymore.
Well, because this is the thing, though. Like, they know this is a completely different situation for her, and they know what's happened to her. So, yeah, it's awful what she did, and it's awful that people are suffering because of her. But I would think that they would be understanding because of just what she's going through.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If we are treating this like an addiction, you can't just kick somebody out of the group because they're struggling with something. And I mean, I think that the group understands that. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that she's going through. It's something very hard. She's lost a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just going to have to be there for her.
Yeah.
Through her ups and downs. So let us know what you guys think about, you know, Carol putting the group in danger, about what's going to happen with Connie and Magna. I mean, there's a lot that we want your thoughts on, you guys. So let's get into our special segments. We're very excited about them. Cedric, let our fans know what these are.
So the first special segment I want to introduce is the dead weight of the week. And that means, who was the worst character of the episode that hindered the group?
Okay. Benny, I'm going to let you go first.
Carol.
Wow. You know what? I never thought that I would actually say something negative about Carol.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to agree with you, Benny. I feel like it would be Carol, too.
I mean, yeah.
This has gone on far too long. And like I said, two instances in one episode is enough. Like, enough is enough.
Well, and this is why I like this show, though, because we are not always seeing Carol in the same position, you know?
Yeah.
She's in a completely different position, a completely different story arc.
Yeah. Cedric, who do you think it is?
I'm going to go Carol across the board.
Yeah.
I think just with getting into the situation and then the panic attacks, not poo-pooing on
being claustrophobic. Yeah. But,
that also really added layers to it, and then going back and trying to be a hero at the end, there was just a lot of mishaps for Carol.
I completely agree with you. Yes. So guys, let us know who your dead weight of the episode was. That's our newest segment, Dead Weight. I really love that name. It's really clever. And what's our second?
So let's talk about who was the MVP of the episode, who actually did the most work.
Okay. I would say Daryl.
Yeah.
Because he kept everybody calm. He was real MVP. he kept everybody calm.
Yeah.
You know, he was really proactive on getting everybody out of there. I mean, I would say between him and Magna, surprisingly, I think Daryl outweighs her.
Yeah, I definitely say Daryl. He was, like you said, the main guy trying to get the people out of there. Mm-hmm. He was the level-headed one. Yeah.
And I'm going to say Daryl as well. I actually foreshadowed this at the end of last season, that Daryl was going to be the reason they get out of the cave, just with his ability to track and get himself out of situations. I would say a close second would be Jerry, just because he had all that weight on his shoulders while people escaped.
Literally.
Cave. Like,
yeah. No, that's, yeah. Let us know your MVP, guys. We're going to move on to news and gossip.
Yes.
Benny, take it over.
Let's do it. All right. So news and gossip.
This is
about the lovely, awkward sex scene between Negan and Alpha. So I was reading, and they were talking to the showrunner was having an interview about the episode. They brought up the sex scene, and he said the writer, when the writer brought up the sex scene, he was reading it, and he was like, you know what? I don't know if I can do this. This is just too weird. And then, you know, we thought, you know what? Because it is weird, we have to show this. And so they started talking about the dynamic between the two and, you know, why they're doing this. And he said it's more of something like animals for Alpha.
Mm.
Animals have sex. It's not like, it's different with humans versus animals.
Yeah.
And that's how he looked at it. And then they asked, do you think Negan enjoyed it, and they said, yeah, I do think Negan enjoyed it, because he seems like he can get into some pretty kinky stuff.
Ooh.
So yeah, so I guess doubt it. And if the showrunner is saying that, you know,
I mean, guys, let us know if you thought Negan really enjoyed it. Would you have enjoyed it? I mean, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say most of us would not enjoy something like
right.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Oh, thank God, because I don't think I can talk about this anymore, because it's so gross. But I do agree. I do think that it is something that had to happen, because it does give, you know, Alpha just this another level of animalistic just behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes her even creepier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's get into some predictions, you guys.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, Cedric, since you are our newest member, shoot us with some predictions.
So I think that they will actually get more of the cavalry. Mm-hmm. I think they'll come back and actually destroy the rest of the herd, kind of thwarting whatever Alpha's long-term plans are. And I'm going to have a... That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. I think Negan, if he's not infiltrating the group and destroying them, he's going to become the leader of the Whisperers by the end of the season.
Ooh. That would be pretty cool.
That's
not gonna lie.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. That would be a complete left field. Watch it happen now.
Cedric, we're watching you.
Yep.
There we go.
Benny, any predictions?
You know what? I'm going to go completely to someone we haven't even seen, Michonne. I don't think everyone's saying that she's going to die because she's leaving the show. I don't think she's going to die. Mm. I think something is going to happen to her a la Rick. And yeah. But I don't think they're going to kill her off.
Okay, that's fair. Because we do know Michonne is leaving the season.
Yeah.
So I guess that, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. My prediction is that the Whispers are probably going to infiltrate Alexandria and the Hilltop. Mm-hmm. And then our people who have been pretty sheltered from it are going to have to face them head on.
Yeah.
Pretty much one on one.
Who's sheltered from it?
I just got another one.
I feel like a lot of our team, I mean, they've had these, like, group encounters, but they haven't had one-on-one encounters or small group encounters with them, like, you know, our group just did in this episode.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, they've had the power of numbers, our group, but I think now, because our group is so divided, that they're going to have to deal with them one-on-one.
I think Maggie might play a big part.
That's right.
Because it was confirmed she's in it wasn't confirmed what episode, but it was confirmed that she will be back at some episode this season.
Okay. Last time we saw Maggie, she was kind of going off the deep end too, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Maggie and Alpha face off.
I think that actually goes hand in hand with my prediction there, because if Negan becomes the leader of the Whispers,
oh yeah,
Maggie wanted all the smoke with Negan.
Yeah,
left off.
How good would that be,
guys? I've got two people on my panel full of predictions. That would be really exciting. I mean, maybe the showrunners need to listen to our show if they haven't thought of that.
Exactly.
So those are our predictions, you guys. Let us know your predictions in the comments. We are going to close out. That is our recap of the episode. Cedric, where can our fans find you?
You can actually find me on Twitter. That's CEDD_SAYS.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. We'll see you guys next Monday at 8 p.m.
Later, guys. Glad to be back.
Bye, guys.
See you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.